Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio with my beautiful sister Tara. And last week we started in chapter 4 of Tara's study called Wishing Forward. And she explained a little bit about the name. And it's a beautiful, you have to listen to a recording from last week, and she explained it in a little bit more detail. And we were in Luke chapter 6, and she storied it so beautifully. But she asked me if I could story it, and I was very honest. I said, no way.
Do you know what, Sabrina? Don't feel bad. I think we shared this at the beginning of the series, the season. I was storying this 7 moments Jesus prayed at the International Orality Network conference as the opening devotional one morning, and I froze on the Beatitudes. I just went blank. I mean, just there was nothing. My brain was a massive black hole. That's all there was to it. I mean, there's no ins and buts. And I think the reason why it's so hard is that because they're so closely related of the things that are being said within the Beatitudes of, you know, and then when he goes into the woes, it's the flip. And so it's easy to get it confused. Mm-hmm. But I'll give us a shorter recap because I think we need to, one, get this one down.
Yes, I agree.
I need to have this one down. And it's crazy. I have this, like, mindset in my mind because I did it. I could do it fine before I went to the International Orality. Had never messed up before on it. But when I messed up there, I kind of lost my confidence. So it's just kind of funny. It's one of those things, got to pray and ask the Lord to restore that which has been taken. And so I've been praying into asking God to help me be his story girl. Well, essentially, what we're doing is the times that Jesus prayed and making a decision. Now, we have looked at, over the last few weeks, that Jesus prayed in times of obedience at his baptism. We looked at how Jesus prayed in times of serving, as he went out and healed the leper and on the Lake Gennesaret when he helped them fishing. And now what we're looking at is in times of decision. And as Jesus was faithful to go out and preach and teach and heal, and he was proving to all involved that he truly was the Lord of the Sabbath. It didn't matter. Grain-filled synagogue, he was faithful. He was preaching. But the religious leaders and the Pharisees were watching him, and they wanted to accuse him and find him making a mistake. So they were after him, and he knew what their thoughts were. But he did not allow that opposition to stop him. He still remained faithful to the task of moving forward towards what God had called him to do. Well, it came to the point where one day he went up on the mountainside to pray. He prayed all night long, and he was praying and asking God who were to be his apostles. He came down to the disciples, and he pulled them together, and he chose 12 of them to be his apostles. Then he took the apostles and the disciples, went down the mountain, and the crowds had gathered around, and they were from all over the region, from Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon. And healing was taking place, and in fact, Scripture tells us that all who touched him that day were healed. And he then, from that point forward, began to give them the Beatitudes and went into what the blessings were if and as a child of God and what the woes are. But then he ended that section with something that was really important, and we will cover that at some point over these 3 weeks that we have left on this series. He told them what they were called to do. And it's just amazing how it all centered on prayer. And he says, you know, you need to love your enemy, you need to do good to those that hate you, you need to bless those that curse you, and to pray for those who mistreat you. So here we have this section starting off with him being faithful in prayer, and then we see him ending this section with the challenge to pray, even in the ugliest of circumstances. And I think it's kind of fitting and proper considering we know for a fact that one of the disciples that he chose to be his apostle, he knew would be his traitor. And he, you know, the disciples may not have understood it at that time, but after the ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit, they would have had the better, full measure understanding of when Jesus spoke the Beatitudes to them about loving your enemy, doing good to those that hate you, and bless those who curse you, and to pray for those who mistreat you, they got a better measure understanding of what was really going on behind Jesus making that challenge to prayer. Okay, so it's amazing. Okay, one of the things that as we're looking at this, we have to examine, we're wanting to ask, what is he really looking forward to? What is he wishing forward in this time of decision? So let's think. We know for a fact that he wants them to get the urgency of what they've been called to do.
Mm.
Okay? All right, he is appointing 12 of them to be his apostle. So I went and I thought, well, let's look up. Well, what is an apostle? What would you define an apostle to be?
Someone who actually walked with Christ.
Yes. Sorry.
An apostle is someone who walked with Christ. Covering up your cough.
Thank you for covering my cough. That's what I get for having a cold and trying to talk on the radio, right? So he, an apostle was an appointed one, a sent forth, and a messenger, someone that was to be a representation, an ambassador to the one which they were serving. And scripture tells us, as if we were to examine it, you know, more fully, it is an eyewitness of an actual eyewitness and who has met Jesus face to face. And Paul gives testimony in how he was chosen. And the thing that is important to understand is that this person is sent to accomplish what the one who sends them sent them to accomplish. So as the Father sent Jesus to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is near and that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So then that is what the apostles are called to go preach.
Mm.
And by being the ambassador, they are the representation of Christ as Christ was the ambassador as of the Father.
Okay, quick question. I don't know if anyone else out there might be thinking this. So a disciple is a follower of Christ, an apostle. Would John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are they all apostles?
An apostle, well, he appoints 12 of them to be his apostles, but yes, the eyewitnesses, they were full eyewitnesses.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, a disciple, I looked that up too. That's so good, Sabrina, because I did, because it's like, okay, God, help me to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the definition, and then I'll kind of give you a little bit about a debate. A disciple comes from the word mathletes, and I'm not saying it right, okay? And it's a learner, someone who is a student of. A disciple is a student of, a learner, that not only accepts the instructions that they're listening to, but the instructions become the rule and order of their conduct. So though Judas is one of the disciples, you would not really truly call him a disciple of Christ,
mm-hmm,
in the truest sense of the word, because it means that your conduct needs to be as such.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
yeah,
eliminates a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important that we be in prayer in so many decisions, because it's easy for somebody to put a label, but if the conduct
doesn't match,
is not befitting of the instructor, then that is not a true disciple.
And then the credibility of the person they're following,
yes,
is being questioned.
Sure, sure. And it's pretty deep, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the AMG, Bible Word Study Dictionary, they take the word apostle and they define it this way. They said to send as a sent one, as an ambassador or a missionary. So the disciple that becomes the apostle becomes the sent one. So the disciple is the one that makes it a part of their life or conduct, but the apostle is the one that goes forward on the mission. Okay?
Okay.
Now, commentators, huge debate. Huge. And I mean, you can get like people like hot under the collar when you discuss this. If they're a person into this, do we have apostles today? You know, can we say we are apostles? And there's the debate of the commentators that say there were only 12, and there will only be 12. That's it. They were the 12 appointed apostles to be the ones to go forth as the missionaries to proclaim the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. And from that point forward, we're all just disciples. But they don't argue that we're not called to be missionaries. We're all called to be missionaries. And so it's a fine line in how that defining goes. It's just maybe a different name that they use. Whereas you have the other group of commentators that say this was the first set, you know, and that as a believer, you can only become a believer of Jesus if you have met him. And so I am not smart enough to tell you the answer. I am smart enough to tell you that Scripture says that we are called to be disciples, we're followers of Jesus Christ, and that we are commanded to go make disciples of all nations, and that we are commanded to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. So in that aspect, I am a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to allow it just to affect my conduct. I am going to allow it to become a part of what I speak and proclaim forth so that it can be where I draw other followers in. Mm-hmm. Would I call myself an apostle? Not necessarily. A missionary? Sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't call myself an apostle or a missionary. I would just call myself a lover of Jesus.
Amen. But you are a missionary as a worship leader and on the radio with what we do.
I know, but I wouldn't call, you know, yeah, I wouldn't like call, you know, myself that, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I refer to myself, I view myself as a North American missionary.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. You know, I just wouldn't call myself that.
You're so funny. You're so cute. And so, I mean, this here is something that we have to, it's like full grasp of this. It's just like, whoa, you know, and there's a big debate and not wanting to cause anybody to get hot one way or the other. It's just, but we are commanded to go. And so go.
Yeah.
Don't be silent. And definitely make sure the conduct matches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you're going to drive fast, don't put a Jesus fish on the back of your car and cut people off.
Do you have a Jesus fish?
I don't. I do not.
Do you drive fast?
probably too often. No, I mean, but it is. People will. And,
I know.
And everything that we do and we say.
Completely.
I think, and we're not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But there's things that we can definitely be aware of.
Sure.
And
to be a person of our word. And I'll give you an example of a simple test that God put before me. You know the video, our husbands both work at the same company, and they have a driver video. And my husband, of course, brought those videos home because we were in the process of teaching Michaela how to drive.
I watched those videos.
Your husband make you watch
them
too? That's so funny. Our husbands are so funny. And that's great. Well, anyhow, after watching the videos, I was very much convicted that I would not use the phone. Mm-hmm. And I use like a speaker, so
Bluetooth.
It's not holding it, whatever. But it's just not wise while I'm mm-hmm. driving. And I had a phone call from a family member, long distance, that I had to take, but I was late. And I also had Dong Min home sick, okay? And I was put to the test in my conduct as a disciple of Christ. He knew that I had made the commitment that I would not use my phone while driving. So I'm in the driveway waiting for my conversation to end with my sister-in-law, working out details for Christmas. And I saw him lean forward like, is she going to drive out of the driveway? And I'm just sitting there waiting and waiting until the conversation came to where I could say it. And I finally said, you know, I apologize. I have to get off. I need to go. And I'm in the car and I cannot drive in the car. I've given a promise to my family. And I knew I was in the middle of a test on my conduct before this little one, whether or not I would be a person of my word. And, you know, we don't know when those tests are going to come. And they come. Mm-hmm. They come full measure.
I know.
And so as a disciple, we have to make sure that in our choices that we're wise about that. Now, in this case, Jesus was praying for these disciples and his choice to appoint them, and thinking through the men that he called, right? They were so diverse. Now, mm-hmm. I want you to think, there was fishermen, brothers, tax collector,
a zealot.
Oh, he's like one of the guys that led in the Crusades that went out and like...
A zealous.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking not a man you want to get in a fight with, okay? Mm-hmm. He was one of the Crusade fighters, and I have somewhere here in my notes the dates. Okay, here it is. Simon the Zealot. Of Canaan, and I'm not saying that right, his Aramaic, he led the Jewish riots in AD 67 through 70. I mean, he was like famous for his zeal and what he did in battle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then James, the son of Alphaeus, he was called often James the Younger. He was kind of young. And they speculate that Bartholomew is Nathaniel that's referred to in John 1:45. And James and John, the brothers of Zebedee, they were fishermen. They're the ones that fought over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Mm. And they were also referred to as the sons of thunder. So, you know, you're talking hot kind of rash kind of guys. And then, you know, Peter, which we know he's pretty impetuous, but a fisherman. And Andrew was his brother. And then Thomas, he was known as Didymus or the twin. And I think most people don't realize that he was a twin. Mm-mm. You know, it's kind of funny. And so we had political leaders, we had fishermen, we had humble servants. I mean, you're talking
warriors.
I mean, the whole gamut. There is nothing in this diverse group of men that you would think. And a tax collector, I mean, you're talking somebody who's friendly with the Roman soldiers. Mm-hmm. You know, you would never have said, I think this is a good group of men for us to put together for a team. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't fit. But it's what Jesus chose. And I think of how oftentimes when we make our decisions, we can make our groups so homogenous that we really mess ourselves up by not having the more diverseness of the different aspects of the group, what the group can offer. And we don't have much time left, but a thought for you to think on as we pray into choosing groups. We often focus in on spiritual gifts of how it'll serve with inside the body and the church, but more gifts are used physically outside the physical building of a church than are ever used within the church. And we often glorify the gifting of those who are servants within. But if you think about it, countless thousands more are without using their gifting. And so we need to honor more those that are serving outside the walls, because they're the ones that are making the difference in the kingdom and the community. And choosing wisely to honor this group is important. God bless.